Bruce, can't let the night go without asking you about the Mayan calendar end date of December 21st next year. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I'm going to be in studio with you and Tom and Lex and everybody else. We're going to have a nice way of holding the hand of the public to show them that, as the old song used to say, it's just another day.
Well, we're going to be popping champagne that night,
Bruce. Well, it will be going into details, but basically it's just a matter of a technical shift. It's one-fifth of the precession of the equinox, the long count of the Mayans, is exactly just one-fifth of the 26,670-year cycle it takes the Earth to circle around the solar system. And it just coincidentally, August 13, 3014 BC to 2012, December 21st, is just about 127 years or so shy of exactly one-fifth. They were only off by 27 years every 50, 125 years, whatever. Pretty accurate. So basically, we'll talk about that, and I'll give you information about scholars, Mesoamerican scholars who comment on this. The Mayans never said the world is going to end. Their calendar was simply meant to go through one cycle, just like one fifth of anything. That's all.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Richard in Linwood, Washington. Linwood, there you go, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Rich.
Hi, George and Dr. Goldberg. I just wanted to comment on the Rudolph Fenn story that you told at the beginning show. I have heard a debunked version of this in almost all the research I've done. I wonder if you could comment on it. Apparently in 2005, a researcher named Chris Aubeck investigated this story's history, and he found out that it was taken from a science fiction story by Jack Finney in 1951. And 2 years after that, a writer named Ralph Holland stole the story and republished it as nonfiction. And Ralph Holland happened to promote the existence of a fourth dimension. Have you heard this version, and could you comment on that?
Yes, I have heard it. The problem is that I don't think Collier's magazine was the equivalent of the New York Post. I think they would have done a little bit more research. Their editorial board would have reviewed this a little bit more carefully before they printed it. And secondly, look, you can take the Philadelphia experiment. You can take any of the metaphysical mentalities. You can take the Spanish soldier who teleported in 1593, which is very documented. And you'll always get somebody coming up with a debunking story. You know why? Because there are people who are professional debunkers. That's why. They get their jollies and make their living out of trying to say the world sucks and then you die. And so I don't know the truth of that. I said initially it is a very controversial story. But then again, anytime I bring up something like teleportation, it's going to be controversial, and there's going to be people who don't want that to be known. They just simply don't like it. And so we don't know what the story is. I'm just giving you the facts that have been reported. And again, it's one of these to be determined. But, yes, I have heard it. But I've also heard negative stories about the Philadelphia experiment, which I think was a real experiment that actually worked.
In the hypnotherapy end of your career here, Bruce, are you seeing any trends with people at all? Anything going on?
Well, interesting enough, as much as people whine and complain about economics and unemployment rate and things like that, and I understand there are real issues, I'm finding that people are far more, including men too, because most of my practice is, 80% women between 30 and 50 is my typical demographic, I have a lot more men in the practice now and a lot more people with very conservative jobs and positions and backgrounds who are much more new age oriented, or let's just say much more open to more spiritual and more positive mindsets. They want to go through the positive things. They don't want to just justify the negativity that maybe their colleagues and the media would promote to them. I find people are simply looking for the light at the end of the tunnel. That isn't the freight train coming in the opposite direction.
All right, next up we go to Barry in Quaker, Pennsylvania. Hi, Barry. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. With all due respect, Doctor, the sound of the lower astral planes that people go through sometimes, I don't think you're describing it very well, in the sense that it's almost like a Grimm's fairy tale of Hansel and Gretel with a candy house and luring the children, and you're like luring people into something that could get them into a lot of deep trouble spiritually, and I don't think that's highly respectable.
I have to comment about the amount of psychiatric referrals I get, neurologists, internal medicine. I've worked with thousands of people who are victims of major psychic attack. I protect them. Every psychic attacker in the world, every one of these idiots out there that try to hurt people with metaphysical techniques, they all know who I am. I have a fun life. Why aren't I being torn apart by these maniacs all over the world who know exactly who I am. My point is that, no, what I do is upper astral and protection or beyond to the other dimensions. They're all positive. My books describe in detail what the lower astral plane is like. I can't describe it in 2 seconds. It's noisy. It's got a cheesecloth experience. It's got lower astral entities that look like a bad Star Wars bar. I mean, there's a lot of things I could describe that would take hours, and we don't have the time for that. But your comment to me is disrespectful. You don't know anything about me, and you obviously haven't gone to any of my workshops or discussed any of my patients who are referred to me because of these humongous voices in their head, audible hallucinations. They would be classified as schizophrenic or borderline personality disorders. And I work with them, and I work with them very successfully. And again, it's because I'm training them to protect themselves from these attacks, and basically that's who I am. Now, if you want to evaluate my work, I would suggest you do a little homework and do a little talking rather than just calling up on the radio show and just trying to take a shot. Not very impressive and not appreciated.
And the astral plane, Bruce, is not a walk in the park, is it?
Well, the upper astral plane is a walk in a very nice park. I mean, this is beautiful.
But I mean the lower.
The lower astral plane is like, think of it this way. There's a video. For the listeners out there, if you go to my site, there's a video that's a psychic, it says psychic attack removed on TV. You'll see, it's only a couple of minute clip, you'll see a woman who is describing this very noisy, she's like disoriented. You're going to have all these weird entities. You're going to feel like attention. You ever have a situation where you just feel a lot of anxiety? You just there's so much tension in the air, you could cut it with a knife. That's what the lower astral plane is like, mostly noisy and just disoriented and disorganized and just a bad neighborhood is the way I describe it. Now, that being said, remember, most of your early books, in fact, all the ones I can think of, you reported a couple of them, you know, Sylvia Modoon, Oliver Fox, and blah, 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 those are all describing the lower astral, including Robert Monroe, okay, who should have known better, you know? I mean, if you really know what you're doing in this field, you don't go to the lower astral, you go to the upper. You want to keep away from all these Area 51s kind of things up there. So my point is that if you're protected, you're not going to have a problem. If you use your higher self, see, when you're on the lower astral plane, you have no access to your higher self. All you can do is be attacked. The question is how much. If you're on the upper astral plane, now you can access your higher self, number one, which will facilitate your protection. The sealing of the auric field and balancing of the major chakras is what we're talking about. And at the same time, there's no negativity there. All these dimensions are positive except for the lower astral and, unfortunately, many parts of the earth plane. Everything else is a walk in the park, as you described, and it's beautiful, and you can grow spiritually like you wouldn't believe. So basically, you never have to worry with the techniques that I do, and I'm not the only one. There are other people who use protection and know what they're doing in the field. You're going to have positive experiences. In fact, you're going to empower yourself because you really can't grow spiritually unless you bring in the higher self. And if you go to the lower astral plane every night, which most people do, which is why most people, as they get older, they get more cynical and depressed and negative, if you notice that, okay? It's because they're spending most of their nights on the lower astral. Not good, folks, and you don't have to do that. You can be 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and have a great life and be recharged every night with the cosmic radiation to your soul's energy and recharge yourself and just feel good, accomplish goals, be creative, overcome medical issues. You can slow down and reverse the aging process by building up the DHEA, which can be done during the REM cycle at night. Medical studies show that. Alpha levels increase the DHEA, which is part of our immune system that stimulates the T lymphocytes and fights viral diseases and actually slows down, and some cases can even reverse the aging process.
Let's go to Lloyd in Modesto, California. Hey, Lloyd, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good, Lloyd.
I have a question for the good doctor.
Sure, Lloyd, what's up?
I've been plagued with night terrors since I was a child. Mm-hmm. I wake up and I feel like someone's out to get me. Usually I see people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It happens almost every night. Is this a meant just a kind of sleeping disorder, or am I waking up in a lower astral plane?
Well, it's actually both. I mean, technically it's a sleeping disorder because you're not getting a good night's sleep. I can tell you right now, you're not getting quality REMs, and therefore it's not making you a happy camper. Night terrors are mostly with children. Yes, adults do get them, but you mostly see them in adolescents and children, you know, first, second, third grade at grammar school and junior high school, mostly. Yes, these are, in fact, lower astral plane experiences. And the reason we know that is because when people are woken up at a sleep laboratory, you know, where they keep you overnight, when they have these nasty nightmares, they describe, you know, Darth Vader and Dick Cheney coming after them. You know, I mean, these are lower astral plane experiences. You can be trained very quickly to be protected and to eliminate the night terrors. It's simply a matter of going to the upper astral plane rather than the lower. If you go to the upper astral, you'll never have night terrors again.
Bruce, do you think time travelers are coming back here?
Of course they are. I've written books on it, you know? I mean, written like 3 books on it. Yeah, of course they do. You think it's, you know, I was watching a documentary on, Nova, about the history of, you know, mankind, the evolution of mankind from Zinjans, Ropas, Boisai, and Homo habilis, handyman, you know? And they talk about how these species could not adapt to the change in climate, so therefore they all became extinct except eventually for modern man. Well, if you buy formal evolution on that level, that's fine. The question is, you know, if you have 10,000 years of no major catastrophes like pole shifts or major disturbances to the planet, like asteroids hitting us, et cetera, you have an advanced civilization. That's any anthropologist will tell you that. We've had many times of 10,000 years of no major catastrophes to the planet. And our brain case hasn't increased since Neanderthal man had a bigger brain case than us, and that's 300,000 years ago. So how come now we have cell phone satellite dishes and MP3 files, and we didn't have that 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, or 1,000 years ago? The greatest minds in the world's history was probably ancient Greece. You know, if you look at the Golden Age of Greece, around Plato, Socrates, and Archimedes, and all these people, why didn't they contact each other by cell phones? I mean, these guys were really smart. So I think what you have here is a little help. We get by from a little help from our friends, as the Beatles so nicely said. And I think you have time travelers, and you have a certain ETs too, but the time travelers are better because they're all very spiritual. They're us in the future. They have a vested interest in our species. And therefore, of course, we've had help. It's not logical. The history of evolution itself is ridiculous scientifically because we've made too many advances in way too short a time, unless, of course, you factor in help. The best example is ancient Egypt. Now, you know about Egypt. They can't, anthropologists and Egyptologists and historians can't explain where Egypt came from. The civilization came from nowhere, and that never happens in traditional archaeology, et cetera, or history. So basically, somebody had help. And there's lots of evidence. We've done shows about, you know, television in ancient Egypt and many of the other gold plating and their use of various technologies, building the Pyramid of Giza, which, of course, nobody can explain today. And Japan tried it 30 years ago and failed. Even using modern equipment, they couldn't do what the ancient Egyptians did. So do you think that maybe somebody had a little help from an advanced civilization? We have elements of Atlantis and Lemuria, Atlantis in the Atlantic, Lemuria in the Pacific. There's tons of evidence to show that there are civilizations that have been existing long before ours, going back into hundreds of thousands of years B.C. The question is, you know, the records were lost because of floods. Okay, fine. But now we have another civilization, and if you think we came from nowhere, folks, and we just did it real cool because we studied real hard, you know, it doesn't work that way because it should have been done years and years ago.
Let's go to Manhattan, New York. Charlie's with us. Hey, Charlie, go ahead.
So happy to be on. Thank you, George.
Sure,
I love
thing.
Your show. I listen to you every night. I'll be
Thank
quick.
You.
I just have 3 questions. I'll save my most important for last. My first question is, you know, I will, as far as my dreams are concerned, you know, I'll see like something random, like a certain store, and then I'll have a dream about that store all night. Mm-hmm. So it just, I've seen, you know, evidence of like dreams being really unimportant, just, you know, random dreams about random things. And I've had other dreams that have seemed like really lucid and significant. So I was wondering sort of like what the difference is with that. And additionally, I'm wondering, you said that we shouldn't fear death because we're definitely coming back. But my question is, we're not going to see our loved ones that we're currently on Earth with again. And that's scary.
No, that's not true. Stop right there. You can reincarnate and have karmic patterns with the loved ones. It happens all the time. People reincarnate in groups. So your son or daughter or husband or whatever can reincarnate, not necessarily in the same roles, but yes, it's called group karma. Oh, that's a standard theology or philosophy principle in the field. So I completely disagree with that.
Okay. And then my last question.
Would you rather go through life thinking that you're going to wind up in the black hole like some of these skeptical debunkers who go through life saying that they have this look on their face like somebody hit them with a truck because they realize as they get older their body's falling apart and that's it for them? No, it isn't. What's going to happen? They're going to reincarnate. They just don't realize it because they're atheists and they're agnostic atheists or whatever, and they're welcome to their First Amendment rights. But the point is they're wrong. Okay? I mean, they're going to find out the hard way. This is a beautiful experience. Not to look forward to it and to go jumping off a bridge, but if you go through life saying, I can't deal with death, I can't deal with it, there's no such thing as death. The physical body dies, but the soul is eternal. It's electromagnetic radiation, equivalent to the radio signal on this network, a TV signal. That's exactly what the soul is, except it occupies the physical body for a certain number of years. And then it goes through a very complicated cycle and then finds another body.
Great. Could I ask my last question to you?
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you so much. I was just wondering about the gentleman that just called before about night terrors. I mean, I wonder, sir, if you have any opinions on what many doctors will call sleep paralysis. And also, George, if you could look up or Google the following. It's called Your Worst Nightmare Supernatural Assault. They actually have done a documentary online about it. And a lot of folks really truly believe that they're being visited by either demonic or some kind of entity. And I suffer from it. It's the scariest thing in the world. You wake up, you can't move, you feel a presence of something in the room.
Okay, now listen. Now this is important. Now, first, sleep paralysis is part of the sleep cycle. Okay, this is the delta part of the sleep cycle where you get most of your rest. Mother Nature, God, whoever designed us, wants us to just simply be frozen and allow our bodies to recreate the enzymes and hormones and replace the millions of cells that are lost by friction and chemicals in our body. So that's why you have sleep paralysis. It's normal, but it scares people when they do out of body experiences because they think that they're either being possessed or they're going to die. But it's a normal part, normal. I underline the word normal part of the sleep cycle. Now, as far as night terrors or as far as what you're describing a psychic attack. It could even be what we call an obsession where a poltergeist from the astral plane is actually sometimes trying to possess you. No, they're not going to take over your body forever, but sometimes they like to try to play games. It could just be attacks from lower astrals who hate us because they're jealous of our dimension, and they work at night. They work between 9 p.m. and about 4 or 5 in the morning, give or take, is the time of the lower astrals doing their thing in the dream levels. But if you're protected, you will go to the upper astral plane, and you won't have some entity like looks like a gargoyle with green eyes staring at you. There are people who wake up with these things. These are actually astral entities, and you're on the astral plane when you wake up. You think you wake up, but you don't. It's called a false awakening. You're awakening on the astral plane, the lower astral, and you think you're awake. Later on, when you get really scared, then you wake up and you're back on the physical plane. When you're on the physical plane, you won't see these entities because you can only see them when you're on the astral plane or if you're in an altered state of consciousness. It's very easy to remove. I do this every day in my office, and once you show empowerment, they won't bother you anymore because if they try to bother you and you're protected and they fail, they get the kajugis kicked out of them by their supervisors. So their incentive is like the mafia, don't fail. So they pick on people who are vulnerable, who they can easily get an attack to be successful with.
Bruce, take a quick second here, mention this free offer. In as much as I don't pay you a dime to come on the show, you might as well mention your website and this.
The pleasure of your company is worth it. Okay. The offer is that if you want to get the free CD called Fifth Dimensional Travel, you have to order the book Exploring the Fifth Dimension from my site, from my office. You can call it in if you don't have a computer. It's not going to be relevant at a bookstore, Amazon or any others. It's only through my office. Mention the offer, and you'll get the book autographed with the Exploring with the Fifth Dimensional Travel CD. And if you just want the written exercise, just call my toll-free number. You'll get that. But please, everything is on the site. Only people without a computer make the calls to my toll-free number.
All right, we'll be back with Final Calls with Bruce Goldberg on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Dr. Bruce, you've talked about universal laws. Want to go through some of them exactly?
Sure. Well, universal laws are ones that are made up by perfect beings that created this universe. So the law of reincarnation, for example, is a good example of a universal law. You're born to life, you go through a karmic cycle, and you cross into spirit, and then you reincarnate in another life. Other examples of it are, for example, the law of attraction. This is the most, one of the most important laws, universal laws, because the law of attraction says that the energy you send out is what you get. So therefore, if you want to think positively, and things I've been mentioning on the show forever, then you're going to get more positive things happening into your life. If, however, you want to be more cynically based and just think that, you know, your cup is half empty, then you're going to attract more negativity into your life. So, again, not a good idea. That's the law of attraction. There's the law of karma itself, which means, you know, what you do, what you send out is what you get, not just the law of attraction, but if you go out of your way to help someone, do something nice, you're going to get, you know, that may not happen immediately, but eventually the universe will repay you for that, and the opposite applies too. So this is, these are principles that are created by perfect beings to help us to grow spiritually and to deal with our lives, to accomplish goals. And basically what they're saying is that it's energy-based. Everything is energy-based. And that's what our world, we don't really focus in a whole lot on that. We spend more of our time dealing with materialism and things like that. In reality, you want to focus in on the energy. So basically accessing your higher self is the way to connect with these universal laws and to make it a part of your reality. The law of grace is another one, which, of course, we know that from Christian theology. Wisdom erases karma is a good example of the law of grace. You have the law of resistance. You tend to attract those individuals in karmic lessons that which you have resisted in the past because you're supposed to learn those. There's the law of reciprocity, which I kind of alluded to. The more you give, the more you receive. You have the law of consciousness, which is our consciousness of our soul, which is our subconscious mind, is constantly expanding and creating more opportunities for our spiritual growth. One that's very relevant today is the law of abundance. It is our consciousness that creates abundance. Through self-hypnosis and visualization techniques, we can attract money, relationships, fame, better communication, spirituality, and almost any other goals. Then there's what we call the mirror of karma, which is the old Hermetic expression, as above, so below. So the outer world, the macrocosm we live in, is a reflection of our inner world, our consciousness, which we would call the microcosm. All objects created on our physical plane have a counterpart on the astral plane. That's the as above, so below mentality. And, you know, the laws of cycles also. We have these polarities, up, down, left, right, you know, this kind of thing, right, wrong. Our universe is characterized by cycles. We have weather cycles, for example, the different seasons. So this is part of our mentality of what we call universal laws. These are the laws, and of course the law of free will is a real biggie too. When people think, well, I can't get around, I failed in life because I had a bad childhood, you know, my inner belly button was itching or whatever, that's not the way it works. Basically, you're responsible for it. You create these things, and if you have negativity, that means you have to look internally and say, what am I doing wrong here? What is the universe trying to teach me? That's why people have negative things happen to them. And positive things are rewards, of course, but it's also, again, of ye sow what ye shall reap, as they say in the New Testament. You earn those things, and the universe can reward us and does once we continue following the laws. So basically, these are just some examples of what we call universal laws. A couple of my newer books give the details of those, so they want to read about, say, the 14 or 15 of them that are the most commonly used one. There's about 300 universal laws, but they tend to repeat themselves. But I gave you about 6 or 7 just now. These are the ones that are more common and the ones that show us how we can actually create our own reality and do our thing.
All right, let's go to Greenwood, Indiana. Mark is with us east of the Rockies. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question for the doctor. About 2 or 3 years ago, I had a dream, and I'm trying to figure this one out. I, for some odd reason, I had like a bald eagle and a hawk on my left arm, and a golden eagle and an owl on my right arm. Something said, be careful, you're okay, and all of a sudden I felt like I was coming out of my body, went out into space, and I felt like someone had tapped my forehead. I could not open my eyes. They said, you will remember, and tap me again. I could not, all of a sudden dozed off, could not wake up. And all of a sudden someone touched my right shoulder, and I see the earth coming back. And I come, just before I come back in my body, it tapped me on the shoulder again, and I wake up. And I said, where was that? He said, you will understand. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Okay, well, you know, it's not going to make sense, and I'll tell you why. First of all, those were totem symbols. If you deal with Native American and shamanic cultures, the owls, the eagles, and things like that, the hawk, the falcon, these are very strong, powerful birds. Now, let me show you why you'll never be able to interpret this. This is why this will nullify every dream interpretation book and therapy theory out there. When you go through your dream cycle, you're going to have 30 to 50. This is documented in sleep laboratories or dream laboratories. You're going to have 30 to 50 what they call dreamlets, which are actual fifth-dimensional experiences. You're in the fifth dimension, upper or lower astral plane. That sounds like pretty much an upper astral plane experience. I kind of like that because of the totem symbols. So let's say you have 30 to 50 different events. When you wake up in the morning, your conscious mind proper, which is your beta brainwave, which is functioning right now, the defense mechanisms, is going to try to make sense out of it. So what you're describing to me isn't just one scenario. It's probably at least half a dozen, maybe 20 of them, and you're trying to piece them together, which is why it's not going to make sense. But what will make sense is to access your higher self, lay this out on the dream levels at night, even if you don't remember it. Doesn't matter. Your higher self is working with you. If it wants you to remember it, it will give you like a loudspeaker in a Kmart. It will tell you exactly what's going on. Usually it doesn't, because it doesn't want to interfere with your earth plane responsibilities. If everybody could connect with their higher self and have complete dissertations of what went on at night, they'd never leave their bed, because why face the world with all the negativity when you can have perfect energy? That's why people usually don't remember things, or they get fragments which they really can't understand. So don't worry about it. These are good signs. It sounds like you're accessing your higher self. More power to you. This is going to help your spiritual growth.
Super. Next up, we have Glenn in Toronto, Canada. You're on with Bruce Goldberg. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, George. Good to be on again. You're the best show in this or any other galaxy.
Well, thank you, my friend.
And I hear you're on the air tonight for the first time in Andromeda. But anyway, Doctor, I have a question for you. The last caller before the break there was talking about the paralysis, and you're saying it's a normal part of the sleep process. And every time I get it, I always fight my way out of it because I think I'm being attacked by some demon or something. But if it's normal, can you use, at that point, is there a way to get easier to the astral plane or something I should be doing to get to the astral?
Yeah, okay. Now, the way to do this now is you want to be protected before you're doing the out-of-body experiences or even before going to sleep at night, because remember, all dreams are out-of-body experiences. So you want to use some sort of protection exercise. Now, there's a psychic protection from negativity exercise on my homepage. You can check it out there. All my CDs have psychic protection on there. The psychic protection from negativity is a special individual title which has various chakra balancing and more advanced levels on there. But any kind of technique you use to protect yourself, the sleep paralysis, remember, that's part of the sleep cycle, so you're going to have that. Don't worry about that. You can lighten it up and lessen it, yes, but don't be disturbed by that. What you really want to focus in on is being protected, sending out positive thoughts. Don't deal with some negative news item before going to bed. Focus in on either positivity, read some poetry or something, or something spiritual. Just send out positive thoughts, and just like the exercise I gave earlier in the show about going into the future, you're doing it in different steps, focusing on connecting with the higher self. That's what you want. That's the bottom line to this. That's the white light that you hear about. It's the higher self. If you do that, you're going to have a much more pleasant evening, and you won't have to worry about paralysis or green-eyed gargoyles looking at you in the middle of the night or any other bad luck that goes along with psychic attack. All that stuff will be irrelevant.
All right, very good. We've got next Kevin in Boston, Massachusetts. Hey, Kev, thanks for holding.
Hey, good evening, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Kevin?
Show tonight. Always a pleasure to listen to the greatest radio show on Earth and in other galaxies.
Amen.
I have a question about time travel.
Okay,
now with practicing REM movements with your eyes and somewhat creating an alternate parallel universe, What if you came back into the physical realm and that alternate universe was created in your physical realm and you had to fix it because it was really bad? And how would you go about fixing the mistake that you had made?
Well, if you're saying fixing it because it's really bad, if it's a really terrible parallel universe, and by the way, every time you have a thought, you create a parallel universe according to quantum mechanics, so technically there's an infinite number. Very simple. Just create another one. Don't try to you know, beat City Hall here. If it's a negative parallel universe, you will be there, a part of you anyway. I mean, your DNA and the body will be there. I'll be there. George will be there. Everybody will be there on those parallel universes. But just leave it alone. Just like it's like a bad clone. Just move on to the next one. You really can't do much to turn around a parallel universe. I mean, you just can't. So basically, don't worry about it. Just select one that's more fitting to your desires. That's all. Just move on. Just like, you know, skip it, as we say.
All right. Sounds groovy. And I would like to make a prediction as a practicing time traveler.
All right.
I'm going to predict that Tom Brady will win the MVP this year and the Pats will go on to win the Super Bowl.
What about the Lions?
Hey, they're looking pretty good, too. But hey, you guys have a good night.
All right, Kevin.
Okay.
The one thing about time travel, Bruce, I've never, ever heard you talk about people winning lottery numbers.
Oh, yes, I did. Remember I talked about when I was in Baltimore, I was doing a radio show on WBAL, and I had this gentleman who was he was working as a blue-collar worker, like for General Motors, one of those kinds of things, and he was on disability. He was in terrible shape. He was depressed. His teenage kids disrespected him. His wife treated him like junk. He was like an Al Bundy, and he used my progression techniques. We did that to help him with his life and, you know, got his emotions and everything together. And then all of a sudden he decided to say, I want to try to win the lottery. He needed $5,000 to start a entrepreneurial pursuit, some business, okay? Now, this is like almost 30 years ago, so a long time ago, okay? So what he did was he used my techniques, and then he bought tickets for the Maryland lottery, and guess what? He won exactly $5,000. He didn't win $1 million or $10 million. He won the exact amount of money. This is the universal laws to do that. The only problem with the story was that he told me that on the air rather than off the air, and you can imagine the calls I got. Every racing tout, every stockbroker.
Everything.
Everybody. Oh, my phone was ringing off the hook with really, like, really not fun calls. But I mentioned that. Now, people have done that. They haven't won gazillion dollars. You can't use this just to be selfish. But the universe will provide, if you're deserving, it'll provide what you need. That's what this is all about.
Let's go to Robin, truck driving in Chicago.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Robin.
And Dr. Goldberg. I have a question about an event that occurred to me about 10 years ago, 2000. I'm just going to condense this down. I lost my cat, I lost my job, and I lost my soulmate. So if there is such a thing. And I went to sleep, and I just wanted to die. I tried to tell myself, like, head, you know what the heart needs to do. You need to just, you know, go to sleep and die. Because I was
Were you taking any pills or doing anything to try to facilitate your death, or just thinking about it?
I held my breath. No drugs.
Okay.
No overdose. It had to be natural because my mom would have been, okay, you know,
your breath, the body's natural survival mechanism, it will keep you alive. That's why we're talking on the phone today.
I'm truck driving, so I'm kind of having a problem hearing you, but I just wanted to get to the event.
Okay.
And I'm probably, what happened was, so I drifted off to sleep,
mm-hmm,
and I was awakened by, I was being lifted out of my body, and I was being elevated towards the, you know, just up towards the ceiling is about where I stopped. But the room was, I didn't have to open my eyes. It was like I could see through my eyelids. And the room was filled with a bright white, I'll call it pure light.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt elation, joy, and peace.
Okay, now stop right there. This is all you need to say. This is the upper astral plane. The white light was your higher self. You were depressed. You were in a way somewhat suicidal, although you weren't doing anything physically to do that, thank goodness. And this was your higher self coming in as an intervention, so to speak, to give you that elation, to put you on a different phase, so to show you that it's important for you to continue on rather than to cross into spirit. That's a perfect example of the upper astral plane and the protection and the positive influence that your higher self can do, of the superconscious mind.
Thank you, Doctor. And that was a life-changing event.
Yes, of course.
You,
right? This is like a near-death experience, except without the death involved, okay? So I appreciate the call. That's a brilliant example of exactly what I was talking about, the white light, the positive aspects, the higher self interacting in the dream levels, usually, when it doesn't, and changing your life. So, George, we have a winner here.
Are you aware how many people you help, Bruce, over the years?
Well, I don't like to take a whole lot of credit. You know, I give myself the 1%, 1/10 of an L.A. agent. You know, I introduce people to their higher self. So, yes, I have thousands of successful cases, but the success is due to the patients and nexting and connecting with the higher self. I'm the trainer. I'm the social director on the karmic cruise ship is the way I like to look upon myself here.
Let's go to St. Louis. Diane, let's try to squeeze you in here. Go ahead, Diane.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, George and Dr. Bruce. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to try and tell you guys this without crying. My brother on Monday, my baby brother, who I was 11 when he was born, so he was like my little sweet baby brother. He's mm-hmm. 38 now. He, on Monday, he's been sick with alcoholism and drug abuse. It has been getting worse the last couple of years. He got laid off. Him and his wife have been going through a divorce, and so Monday he's been talking about suicide. And all kinds of stuff and sleeping with guns and stuff. Monday, he just, out of the blue, well, not out of the blue, he was sort of on a rampage. He was drinking and all. Went into a 7-Eleven and just, I guess, arbitrarily picked some guy and picked a fight with him out in front of the cameras and everything and shot him. Mm-hmm. The guy, thank God, did not die. We prayed so hard, and the guy didn't die. But my brother is just like, it's like he's possessed. He asked me, actually, a couple months ago. He said, do you think it's possible that I've been possessed?
This is what we determine, you know, when you have, if you eliminate drugs now, okay, you have to eliminate hallucinogenic drugs and alcohol and things like that. But when somebody does something completely out of their personality MO, then the only other answer, if it's not drugs, if it's a complete 180-degree turn, that's a psychic attack. That's a major psychic attack. Lower astrals can do that. They can actually possess a person, or we call obsession. They can actually do lots of things. If you don't blame it on the drugs, okay, if there are no drugs involved, then I look upon that as a major psychic attack. I've had people do that where complete different personalities, complete Jekyll and Hyde. And that, to me, is an example of what I try to help people to protect them from by helping them to access their higher self. With the higher self involved, you don't have to worry about that.
Bruce Goldberg's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. When I come right back, how about open lines on Coast to Coast AM?